Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
The prisoner may take the stand.
Citizens of the jury, as a Roman citizen myself, I am legally entitled to mount against this mountain of accusations. A defense. Yeah? You heard 7 charges? That I am cultivating a cult, selling sorcery, lining my own pockets as a fake healer, polluting your youth, blaspheming against your gods, ridiculing Rome's honor, and in general, being an enemy of the people. And each of these charges carries the sentence of death. If the prosecutor could, he would cut my head off 7 times, once for each charge. Now, I could argue, and as my letters would prove, I am a very, very good arguer. But instead, I will tell you a story. Huh? The story of me.
I remind the defendant that his defense must end at sunset, and the sun is already low in the sky. Also, look at the hard faces of your jury. You should deny your story and deny your false gods instead of trying to make a pathetic defense.
Oh, Magistratus, my story is not a defense. It is a confession. And I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. The truth. It was another Roman judge, Pontius Pilate, who asked another defendant facing another death penalty, what is truth? A good question. You may ask.
Prisoner, I promise you when the sun touches the top of that wall, the jury will vote on their verdict. And the block you sit on, it is the very chopping block for the heads of the enemies of the people.
Yes, Magistratus. However, my confession, like any story, must begin with a beginning. And I began in the town of Tarsus. Tarsus, jewel of the Mediterranean, cherished by Roman citizens, a place of prosperity and culture and a good number of Jews. Now, I was given the name Saul after the tragic king of the Jewish Testament. Now, King Saul stood a head higher than other men. He was tall Saul, but I am not, and I am a weakling. So I got the nickname Small Saul. Now, my father, like his father and his grandfather, made their wealth through a humble craft, tent making. And I, Small Saul, was born into the family business. Oh, you, sir, you, don't move. Oh, just hold on 1 sec. Oh, sir. I just wanted to admire you and your beautiful wife. Congratulations, sir. You married way above your status, huh? Oh, she's not your wife? Oh, oops, mazel tov. No, she is. Oh, hey. I have something very special for you, huh? These are the finest tents in all of Tarsus. 40% off last year's inventory today only. Hey, just feel that fabric. Am I wrong? Huh? So sturdy it could keep out camels and her mother. And also waterproof, except when it rains. But just look at the privacy it gives you too, eh? Hey, take it with you wherever you go and always be away from prying eyes. Hey, what's going on in there? Hey, thou shalt not cuddle. Oh, Rabbi Shmuel, here, you can have the tent for 50% off, huh? Ah, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi! Oh, Rabbi, wait, Rabbi, please, I just need a moment of your time. Rabbi, I have questions. Rabbi, I've been thinking about the Torah from the perspective of Greek philosophy, which is all about asking questions. Rabbi, we all know, wait, that the Lord God last spoke to his people through the prophet Micah, but for 400 years, wow, there has been silence from heaven. Why? Rabbi, what is there left for God's people to achieve except to welcome the Messiah? Or as the Greeks say, the Christos.
Small Saul, my boy, there is another Greek word, kairos. It means the fullness of time. God's timing is not our timing. His plan is not our plan. But God is never silent to those who read his word. Our task until the kairos, the fullness of time, is to be looking for God's chosen one, to be watchmen on the wall.
Yes, defend the walls of God's kingdom. Shall we not strike down the unbelievers?
Saul, lower your voice.
I just have so many questions.
I know, my son. Your curiosity is boundless. You must know of the greatest rabbi in Jerusalem, Gamaliel. I think it is the fullness of time for you to go there and apprentice under Gamaliel. Yes, I will give you a letter for him and have a word with your father.
Yes, Jerusalem, here I come. Hey! Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love is everlasting. Oh, let all God's people say
prisoner, his love. You are burning your daylight, and you will not escape justice by wandering down memory lane.
Yes, Magistratus. However, this next story is relevant to my confession. My teenage years were spent at the feet of Israel's most renowned scholar, the great Gamaliel. Small Saul, we heard your question, as did perhaps all of Jerusalem. The zeal of God's house consumes you like a fire. But fires can grow out of control. God said, vengeance is mine, not yours. When you take God's role for your own, you may find yourself fighting against God himself. Yes, Rabbi, but just one more question. How can we as God's people stand by when faced with evil? And how can we not, as in the days of Joshua, wage a war, a holy war, to cleanse our land of sinners? I was convinced that Israel's suffering under the Romans, no offense intended, was because of our people turning to heretics, false teachers. By the time I was in my 20s, a new heresy called the Way was spreading among the people. I heard it with my own ears when a leader of this cult appeared before the Council of Elders. This demon's name was Stephen. Brothers and sisters, good news! The Messiah has come. Jesus, foretold by the prophets, has been rejected, but resurrected. But you are always resisting his Holy Spirit. You are doing just what your fathers did. They killed those who foretold the coming of the Chosen One, the one whose betrayers you have now become yourselves. Blasphemy! How dare you accuse the most religious men in all of Israel as resisting God's Spirit? How could any faithful leader believe that a carpenter's son from Nazareth who was convicted and crucified was the Messiah? There's only one way to deal with the devil. In a fit of rage, the men of the council dragged Stephen outside the city walls. They threw their coats at my feet, and the rocks began to fly. But just before Stephen's spirit left his broken body, he uttered these words, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." I realize my life's mission. to cut this cancer out, to bring an end to this heresy and its heretics. I am weaponized. I am become the destroyer. I am become the angel of death. With the High Council's blessing, I ruthlessly pursue any followers of Jesus to deny him or die with him. When these heretics are causing confusion in Damascus, the High Priest sends me there with powers to prosecute and to persecute. Oh, donkey. Please. Pretty please, with schmaltz on top. We're almost at Damascus. So hurry up and giddy up. Are you limping? Are you a wonky donkey? And you are blinking so much. Are you a winky wonky donkey? Is that what you are? Oh, gas! You did that on purpose. You are powered by natural gas. You are a stinky winky wonky donkey. Oh, I've had enough of this. It's so hot. I just want to be off this road again. Off this road again. Can't wait to get off Damascus Road again. Persecuting heretics and their friends. That was bright. I cannot see. Hello, I can't see. I can't see. I can't see. God? I can't see. Donkey? Jehovah God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, Lord, help me.
Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Who are you? Lord?
I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.
Uh-oh.
Stand up, small Saul. Now go and enter the city. You will be told what you are to do.
The light took my sight. I am blinded by the sun. There must be someone who can help me. I must get to Damascus. I know we're close. Is there anyone there? No, that's not a person. It's just a giant potato. Please, there must be someone who... here is someone. I can tell that you are kind and have the gift of... very bad breath. Never mind, it's okay. There must be someone. Please, anyone who... here is someone. It's a camel. But I can't tell which end of the camel it is. Why is there no one here to help me? Here is a helping hand. Praise the Lord. This is how you get volunteers in church. Lead me to Damascus. Yes, please. Please, to the... Where are you leading me? You're letting a blind person guide you. Obviously, it's here. Come on, man. Here we are in Damascus. Now, please, make the bed. It's still a donkey, obviously. Look, okay, now it's a bed with nice, neat corners. That is not neat. I'm telling your wife. And your commanding officer. Probably same person. But thank you. Wait. Don't go. I'm in so much despair. Sing me a lullaby. Do you know Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star of David? Oh, please, sing. Soothe my soul. Oh, stop! I wish I was deaf, too. Okay, go sit down. Slow, sarcastic round of applause. Somebody please lower his dosage. Oh, I cannot sleep. I cannot eat. I cannot drink. I am like Jonah in the belly of the great fish. Incline your ear and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life and save me, please. My trust in you will never cease. May glad my soul and pull now I lift it up to you, and I will teach sinners your ways and follow you, Lord, all my days. Just like Jonah, 3 days passed before a visitor appeared at my bedside.
Brother Saul, I am Ananias. The Lord Jesus who appeared to you has sent me so that you would regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Why do you call me brother, huh? No, you must know what happened to Stephen. Well, I stood and watched. No, you must leave me. I am unclean. I am unworthy.
Oh, none of us are worthy, Saul. your past does not define you now. The transforming love of Jesus defines you. He has a message for you. Go, for you are a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the children of Israel and kings and the Gentiles, the non-Jews. I will show you how much you must suffer for the sake of my name.
Ananias, I could see! The Holy Spirit filled me, and my blindness and spiritual blindness was shattered. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Hey! Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Hey! Ha! I saw the notorious persecutor now pestered the Christians with questions day and night. For in the texts I had studied my whole life, I could see. I could see Jesus in every prophecy. I couldn't contain my new vision anymore. I went to the Damascus synagogue. Brothers, elders, the Lord God is one. I once believed as you that Jesus is not the Messiah. But on my way to Damascus, I encountered him. And I now stand before this court as an eyewitness that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. My preaching did not go well. My plan was not God's plan.
Small Saul, brother, can we talk? Here, come here. look, the men in the synagogue you've been debating with. Yeah, well, the leaders, they have some concerns over your new perspective on Jesus. Well, you see, once you're outside the city walls beyond the eye of Rome, they intend to, confront you. Beat you to death. Shh, no, it's all right. We have a plan, a great plan. Oh, well, praise God. Thank you, brother. What's the plan?
You're going to lower me down the city walls with a rope? How high are the walls? 30 feet. All right. 30 feet? And I'm supposed to fit in this basket? And when it's pitch black out, so I'm blind all over again. And you want me to trust in the strength of a rope you bought on sale? This is a good plan. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Well, that night, under the cloak of darkness, the brothers lowered me down the city walls. Slowly. Slowly. I said slowly. Well, off I headed to Jerusalem. And after learning from the apostles, I was ready to take Jerusalem by storm. Oh, I imagine the crowds marveling at my transformation. Small Saul, the persecutor, now a preacher. But my plan was not God's plan. Just like in Damascus, I'm not the hot new preacher. I'm the hot potato nobody wants to hold. Peter.
Small Saul, brother, can we talk? The brothers respect you, but you got to get back on that wonky donkey and head out of town before sunset. It's not you, it's us. It's mostly you. See, powerful people want to cancel you. That's a nuanced way of saying they want to, beat you to death. And the baby church in Jerusalem just does not need this kind of attention right now. So maybe you should head back to Tarsus and wait for the Lord to guide you.
I get it. I get it, Peter. I just... Does anyone like me? Do you like me?
Our boss says to tell the truth always. I do not like you. I love you. I admire you. I respect you. But I don't envy you. The Lord called me to walk on water, but he calls you to walk through fire.
Thank you, Peter. Please let go now. I can't breathe. You're hurting me. Tarsus, home sweet home. From persecuting to preaching to tent making. My days were stitching tents, but my nights stitching together my understanding of the faith. Years passed. And then, one day, out of the blue, a brother named Barnabas appeared. Small Saul, Antioch is buzzing. Gentiles are embracing Jesus. Jews and Gentiles are worshiping together. Hey, but they need guidance. And I thought, better call Saul. For who better than you, Saul, with your Jewish learning and your Roman citizenship? You understand both worlds. What do you say? Well, this wasn't my plan. But it sounds like God's plan. I say, yeah. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love is everlasting.
You are running out of time.
Right. So I stopped pitching tents and started pitching paradise and joined Barnabas in Antioch. Finally, I was no longer preaching to people who wanted to, beat me to death. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free, in that all are one in Christ Jesus, saved by grace. See, the law and the rules, they can never make you right before God. You are justified by faith in Jesus, by faith alone. Oh, that sounds good. I should write that one down. See, it's not about what you've done. It's about who you trust. And trusting in Jesus means you're in his family.
Prisoner, you have less than half your time remaining, and you waste it on your ideology.
Yeah.
You promised a confession.
And I confess this, that I loved every day in Antioch, and I would have spent my entire life there. But my plan was not God's plan. About a year later, we were fasting and praying. And the Lord spoke very clearly. I was told to go and spread the news about Jesus in other countries and cultures. I became the world's first missionizer. No, wait. Sorry. Missionist. No, that's not the mission. Sorry, what's the word? No, that's not it. Mission impossible-ary. Wait, mission critical-ary. Oh, I'll relax. I'm just having fun. I know that when you go on a mission, you become a monkey donkey. All right, as a missionary to the entire Mediterranean world, I chose the name Paul because it's a name more common in the non-Jewish Roman world. Now, the name Paul means small. So now I was small Paul. I can hear the angels chuckling. Well, what happened over the next year was glorious. Signs and wonders followed us everywhere, especially among the non-Jews. Miracle after miracle. And even in every town, there was great opposition, and they chased us away with threats of death. But more people came to believe, and God moved in power.
Prisoner, no one here has seen your God move in power.
Right.
Your words do not make it so.
Yes, then I will illustrate with this testimony. One day, as I was preaching in Lystra, I noticed a man who had been crippled from birth. But I could see that he believed what we were preaching. Praise the Lord. Friend, I see that you believe in the God who moves among us. Praise God. Would you try to stand up on your feet? I know you can do it. Hallelujah! Come, you must come with me. Yes, he can walk, and I bet he can dance. You must dance. Ready, step, touch. Here we go. Yes, just like that. Hey, hey, hey.
He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up all their wounds.
Bind, wave your hands.
Binds up all their wounds. He heals the...
Now do a spin.
And he binds up all their wounds. Owe, alleluia.
Shake your hips.
He heals.
Dance solo. Very good. I know you want to join us. Come on, stand up. Let's give God praise. Here we go. Wave your hands like this. Sing.
Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava.
Put your hand on your friend's shoulder and sway. Oh, oh, something's wrong. Sorry. Go sit down. Suddenly, a priest from the temple of Zeus stood before us.
People of Lystra, the gods have come to us. We must sacrifice to these divine manifestations. They are not men, but gods.
No, no, no. We're human, same as you. And we preach that you should turn from dead idols to serve the living creator who made the heavens and the earth and you.
The living creator is Zeus. Let us sacrifice.
Ah. And then suddenly, the local Jews pushed forward and took the stage.
People of Lystra, people, please, people. We are the leaders of the synagogue whom you know. And we already knew about Paul and Barnabas. They are deceivers, not gods, not gods. Everywhere they go, they create chaos. It's absurd. Lock them up, lock them up. Consider this, if they were truly divine, would they not demand offerings?
The Jews are right. They are demons. Stone them!
1 minute we're gods, and the next they're stoning us to death. Oh, Lord Jesus, please. Ah! Oh, receive my spirit, Lord. Ah! Oh, Stephen, I join you. Ah! Oh, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Ow. When Jesus says to you, pick up your cross and follow me, he means it. Ow. Oh. And he's going uphill.
Well, after this, we returned to Antioch and reported how a door to eternal life had been opened wide to the Gentiles. But when the apostles in Jerusalem heard about what was happening, they had concerns.
Brothers and sisters of Antioch, the elders in Jerusalem rejoice in your newfound faith. I am here to ensure your full entry into God's kingdom. Behold, the blessing of circumcision.
Tevye, put that away. Faith in Christ justifies us. What justifies that?
Tradition.
No, listen, sisters and brothers. Salvation is like getting invited to the greatest feast of your life. You do not have to trim your beard or anything else.
So, no trimming? It's just a little off the top.
No, Tevye, now put that away before you lose a finger. Eventually, the apostles agreed with us. What happened in Antioch, the church was a blueprint for a new kind of kingdom, where faith and love break down the walls that have divided mankind for so long. It was beginning to spread through the ancient world like a song that people could not get out of their heads. I and my partners sailed and rowed and walked the empire preaching and planting new churches, spreading the gospel in new cities. It was never easy. Like Philippi, I delivered a slave girl from demonic spirits. She no longer had the power to be a psychic. However, her owners were losing money. No, please. This is not necessary. I was just trying to do good to... Please, no. Ow! You don't have to... Make it stop, Lord.
Not another song.
Sorry, Magistratus, but it's what I actually did in the prison. I started singing. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. He answered me. He heard my cry. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord will help. He's on my side. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love is everlasting. Oh, let all God's people say his love is everlasting. My enemies surround me like a swarm of bees, but with the Lord I conquer all. They push me down, but I never hit the ground. He will always catch my fall. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love is everlasting. Oh, let all God's people say his love is everlasting. And this is the day that the Lord has made.
Oh my.
The doors are wide open. Did I do that? We're free! That night, not only were we saved, but the jailer and his whole household found salvation.
The prisoner has minutes left. Do you want to spend it sermonizing?
Right. So, leaving Philippi, my feet were sore, but my spirit soaring. Over the next decade, we traveled the empire preaching. Thessalonica, riots and revivals. Berea, good people, good soil. Athens, Greeks worship the mind, but even philosophers come to believe. Corinth, sin city. So we planted a church between the brothels. Ephesus, conflict, teaching, conflict, healing, conflict, exorcisms.
We know who you are. You are the servant of Jesus. Son of the living God. No, you stay away from us. Stay away. Don't touch us. Don't touch us. Hands off.
Freedom. Then on we sail to Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening our soldiers of love, then crisscrossing back to Macedonia and Greece, and again Corinth, oy vey Corinthians. You could not even imagine their sensuality. Well, maybe he could with that mullet. Business in front, party in the back. That's Corinth. Oh, and Troas, where that poor boy, Eutychus, sitting on a windowsill, finds my four-hour sermon so exciting that he falls asleep and falls out the window. Now that hurt. I mean, that hurt me. How embarrassing to my preaching. Oh, Eutychus? Eutychus is not hurt. Eutychus is dead. But I breathe my garlicky breath on him. And God literally resurrected my sermon and Eutychus. Then on to Azos. And then going back to Mytilene. And then Chios. Oh, yes. And Samos. Oh, and then there was also Miletus. And then we went to Tyre. Oh, I was tired out. Oh, Lord have mercy. Jerusalem? I must return to Jerusalem. Return to my most dangerous place on earth. Everyone was begging me not to go. But the gospel thrives not in comfort, but in conflict. Not in safety, but in sacrifice. My plan was to do God's plan. As soon as I arrived in Jerusalem, I went straight to see James and the elders. Small Paul, what the Lord has done through you is undeniable. But your love for the Gentiles, it bothers some. I hate to break the bad news, but there are people here who want to, you know. I know. Beat me to death. No, burn you alive. But go with the brothers to the temple. Participate in the rituals. Pay for the offerings. This will show all the Jews that you observe the traditions just as they do. It was a good plan. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? The city erupted like Pompeii. When certain Jews recognized me in the temple, they stirred the crowd into a frenzy. The mob was dragging me to my death when a Roman commander drew near to keep the peace.
Hey, Shorty, who are you? Why does this mob want to kill you?
Commander, please, I am a Jew from Tarsus. I beg you, let me speak to the people, yeah? Thank you. Fathers, elders, I was raised in this city, educated at the feet of the great Gamaliel. I was as zealous for God as any of you. But on my way to Damascus, a light from heaven shone around me, and I heard a voice. It was Jesus.
Take Shorty to interrogation.
The soldiers seized me, yanked me, threw me into their garrison, and spread me out for a whipping. Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman citizen and not condemned by a Roman court?
Wait! Don't touch him. You say you're a Roman citizen?
Yes! You Romans cannot punish one of your own citizens without a legal conviction. So that night, I was held in the Roman barracks to protect me from the mob. Oh. How many, O Lord, are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of him, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the lifter of my head.
Take courage. As you've testified for my cause in Jerusalem,
yes,
so you must in Rome.
Yes, Lord. The Lord is my shield. He stops the flaming arrows of the enemy. For the Lord has conquered all. In him I am victorious. In him I am victorious. I am victorious.
Prisoner, you do not have time.
Oh, Magistratus, that is exactly what the commander came in and said.
Prisoner, you do not have time. My informant tells me that temple leaders plan to ambush and execute you. So I'm sending 200 guards to escort you to a hearing before the Governor Felix.
Oh, I told you he was my shield. And so began several years in custody, as the authorities didn't know what to do with me. For I had appealed to Caesar, which let me testify about Jesus before the most powerful people in the land.
Finally the prisoner's story catches up with today.
Not quite, Your Honor. Finally, we set sail for Rome to appeal my case before the highest powers. Yourselves. We sailed west with a strong wind. A strong wind that became the perfect storm. Friends, I urge you, take heart. Last night, an angel of God stood beside me and said, Paul, do not be afraid. You must stand before Caesar. And God has granted you all those who sail with you. You will not lose your lives, only the ship. So find something to float on, an abandoned ship! When the sun rose, we found ourselves on an island called Malta. The islanders built a fire to welcome us because it was raining and cold. Thank you so much. Thank you for welcoming us. I appreciate it. I'm so sorry to impose, Maltese people, but we have not eaten for many, many days. Do you have something to feed me? Could you please just share whatever you... You're pretending to help me? That's how you help desperate people. You pretend to help them. You should run for office. Sir! Your wife told me you don't need any more snacks. I know you're hiding something. Please. No. Are there any Mennonite women here? They always have pies and pot roasts in their purses. Maybe there's some. It's all right. I've fasted many times. I will just get some more wood for the fire, yeah? It's in here? Okay. We'll get some wood. Oh! Ow! Oh! Ow! 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 Snake! Ah! That's the two-step snake. Yeah, you get a bit, you take a two-step, you fall down, you do not get a back up. This man must be a criminal, eh? Although he was saved from the sea, justice will not let him to live. Nobody survives the two-step snake bite. What? Well, when the islanders saw that I didn't die, they changed their minds. People with diseases from all over the island were coming for prayer, and I healed them. I mean, the Holy Spirit of Jesus healed them. Well, within a few months, the islanders gave us all we needed to sail for Rome. And although bound in chains, I arrived not as a prisoner of Rome, but as an ambassador for Christ. For 2 years under house arrest, my door welcomed spiritual seekers of every kind. Many became followers of Jesus.
And although I was imprisoned, my letters and my words were never more free. My letters crossed seas and mountains. Dear Corinthians, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I am like a clashing cymbal. Beloved Philippians, rejoice always. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. Ephesians, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good.
Prisoner, your stalling has won you nothing. The distance from the setting sun to the top of the wall is now only the width of my finger. Yes. Your recanting, your confession, is now or never.
Honorable magistrate, esteemed citizens of Rome, everything you have heard, my story is my confession. I confess that Jesus is Lord because he was raised from the dead and because he saved me from myself. At first, I tried to stop this good news from spreading, but the gospel, it's unstoppable. You can silence me, but you cannot silence my letters. My letters are in the bloodstream of this empire, an infusion of medicine that is carrying healing to the ends of the earth and killing the sin virus. After these last 2 years imprisoned in Rome, I came here today not expecting a pardon from your court, but from God's court, and not just for me. I was sent to this place on this day for you. You see, I am not the accused. Jesus has already died for my crimes. You are the accused. But I am not your accuser. I am your lawyer. I am not here to save myself, but to plead for your life. You are going to stand before the perfect judge of time and eternity. And what defense will you make? Will you say what everyone says? God is invisible. God is inactive, is indifferent. It's true that we are alienated from our Creator, but he did not leave us. We left him. We decide to become our own gods. But thankfully, our plans are not God's plans, because now our invisible Creator has made himself visible in Jesus. And our seemingly inactive God is now active in Jesus through his body, the church. And God is not indifferent, as his Holy Spirit is wrestling with you even right now. God is madly, truly, deeply in love with you. He is your maker. He is your papa. And he is good. He is running after his lost, rebellious children. He is running after you, and his arms are open wide. Because although you are guilty and he is your judge, his son is your advocate.
Jury, show your thumbs. What? The prisoner cannot vote on his own sentence. And why vote guilty?
Because I am guilty. I am guilty of exposing the false golden gods of this empire. And this empire strikes back. For me to live is living for Jesus. But to die is life eternal.
Let it be recorded. The vote, by majority, is thumbs down.
Dear Romans, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor anything unimaginable, nor anything imaginable will be able to separate us from the love of God, the love that is in his Son, Jesus the Christ. My name is Paul. And I am small. But I walk tall. What we Jews call chutzpah.
I will tell you a secret. Right now, we see through a dark glass. But soon enough, we shall see face to face. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. At last, we meet face to face.
Thank you. Thank you to my tech team, Elijah and Levi at the back. Thank you, Pickering Pentecostal. Thank you so much. I'm just going to really briefly for a quick two, 3 minutes, I just really wanted to share something that was on my heart. I am so thrilled to be here. Thank you for the invite. My name is Arthur, as was mentioned, and at the beginning of this year, I didn't know Paul's full story. I mean, I knew parts of it, you know, but I never in my 22 years now, as, or 3 years as a Christian, I never took like a biographical look at his life from start to finish. And it really transformed the way I read his letters and just thought about him. And what's funny is what really moved me is not Paul the super apostle. We know he's that and he did all these incredible things. But it was like the more intimately familiar I became with Paul, the more I saw Paul the human. Paul, full with weakness and struggles and daily things, problems. You know, I have a hard time relating to the super apostle because I'm not the super apostle. Maybe there's some of you that are. But I can relate to being faithful in the midst of just struggle after struggle after struggle. And Paul wrote these words, and they're kind of like a life verse for me. In Romans 10, and I know you've heard it before, it's whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I believe that for Paul, that wasn't just something that happened once to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, yes, it means that. You know, call on his name and you will be saved. But I think Paul had to call on the name of the Lord to be saved every day of his life. And here's the beautiful thing. God really does save his people. He has saved me over and over and over again. It started 22 years ago. I was wrongheaded just like Paul. I wasn't zealous for the law and the rules and the Old Testament. I was zealous for acting. I really loved, ever since I saw Back to the Future, you know? I was like Michael J. Fox. I was a little kid, and I was just enthralled with that, and I wanted to do that more than anything. I went to arts high school. I went to theater school. And I also did not grow up Christian, kind of like a nominal Catholic once in a blue moon, you know, we'd go to church or whatever. But I didn't like it. I was more interested, I always thought the idea of God was cool, but I like the New Age God, the kind of God that doesn't demand anything of you. God is love, I used to say, like hammered in the bars, talking of philosophizing. I used to go on retreats with gurus from India to become one with God, you know, but my God never forced me to turn from sin. My God never forced me to face reality, that this freedom that I was enjoying was actually destructive. And by my last year of theater school, I was in utter darkness. Even though I was getting lead roles in every show, I had my first big audition downtown Toronto, and I was handpicked by a big producer to be hired in one of the biggest theater companies in Canada. And my career was just like ready to take off. I had an agent and all this stuff. But here's the crazy thing. 2 or 3 hours after that call with that hotshot producer, I was so ecstatic when that call came. And then, you know what happened 2 or 3 hours later? Nothing changed. I was in the exact same hole that I was the day before. That attaining my life's dream did not save me. It couldn't. It's not able to. And I got really desperate that same week. It was reading week of school, but the lights went on, and I was like, oh my gosh, if this isn't it, if this isn't the thing that can fix me, then only God can. And someone at that time said, read the Gospel of John. And I took that to heart, and I went up north. I was by myself. I wasn't in any church. And I read the Gospel of John, and I believed it. For the first time in my life, I realized that Jesus was God. I just believed that, and I believed that I had nothing in common with him, although I thought I was a spiritual person. I realized I had a lot more in common with the enemies of Jesus, and so I just started praying, crying out to him, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, right? I said, Lord, if you can make blind people see, if you can make deaf people hear, then change my life. And here's the crazy thing that happened next. A few moments after that prayer, I started shaking like crazy, like convulsing. And I fell to the ground, and when I wanted to say something, I started speaking in a language that I didn't understand. Gibberish was just coming out of my mouth. I didn't grow up in a Pentecostal church. I had no idea what was happening to me. It lasted a few minutes. I got up off the floor. I felt this peace that transcends all understanding. I mean, I just felt this, like I was glowing from the inside out. I was smoking a pack and a half of smokes at that time. I just ripped them up and threw them in the garbage. That desire for cigarettes, and I tried many times over my life, but it just went away. Haven't had a smoke in 23 years. Porn addiction, broken in an instant. It was a daily habit for me as a young man, and it's been 23 years, just gone in one moment. And I realized that something crazy had happened. I had no idea what it was, so I just took that Bible that's 1,000 pages, and I looked up into heaven, and I said, God, what was that? What just happened? And it went bloop, and it landed on Acts chapter 2. And for those of you that know, that is the description of what happened to the first Christians. When Jesus died and was resurrected, he said, wait for me, pray, 40 days will pass, and the Holy Spirit will come to you. And when the Holy Spirit came, that's the only verse that describes what happened. Out of the 1,000 pages, when the Spirit fell on them, they started speaking in tongues. And I said, wow, that's just what happened to me. Close the book. And I said, well, why was I shaking like that? And I just opened the book again, and it landed on Mark chapter 9. And there's this story of a father that's taking his ill son to Jesus for healing. And when he's delivered, the spirit that is in that boy shakes him, convulses him like crazy, and then it's out with a shriek. So I realized in that moment that I had been filled with the Holy Spirit and delivered, set free. Praise God. That is how my Christianity started. It wasn't in a program of some kind, or, you know, I know it's different for everybody, but why I share my story is because this story of Paul, that's 2,000 years old, the Damascus Road, everything in here, the encounters that they had with God, that still happens today. I know it does because it happened to me. I encountered the living God, and he transformed my life in an instant. I walked away from that acting career, that job. I just said, Lord, I didn't think God could ever use an actor. So I was just like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be an electrician like my dad. I don't care. I just turned my back on all of that stuff. Everyone thought I was nuts, crazy. But within a few months, God had already started orchestrating things so that I would be in a Christian theater company. I started doing mission work, traveling all over the world, sharing the gospel, evangelizing, spreading. I've been doing that for 23 years. God took that, he didn't have to, but he took that thing that I've loved since I was a kid, and he redeemed it, and he turned it into something useful. And I share that because God has something useful for all of us. It could be a talent, it could not be a talent. It doesn't matter. You could be the worst, you could be a stutterer, and God will use you to share the gospel. God takes your weakness and he turns it into your strength. That's Paul's story, that's my story, that is your story. And what I want to tell you today is that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you're saved to do something good. You're saved to do something purposeful. You're saved to write a story. God has a story, a script already written for you to perform. And so whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I could stand here for another 2-3 hours and talk about what happened next and what happened next. And then I had to call on the name of the Lord again. And then I had to call on the name of the Lord again. There are so many of those stories. Just this year with cancer, my wife, but Lord's, he saved. Lord's been faithful.
So I share all this because I don't want you to just leave this place having said, oh, that was interesting. That was an interesting thing about Paul. I want you to believe that what he went through, you can go through, that all who call on the name of the Lord can be saved. And if you need saving today, I'd love to end the service today just praying with you. I do this at Queensway all the time, and I'd love to pray with you today because I really believe that where two or three are gathered, he is in the midst of them. And anybody here who calls on his name today can be saved, not just eternally. Maybe you need it. Maybe you're not sure about your life. I promise you, just like me, I was in darkness. I didn't know what God will guide you and direct you. Trust him. Be faithful. Be persistent. Persevere. He will show you. He promises to give wisdom. He promises to send light. And for those of you that know that you're in God's club, you know, you're in the family, but maybe you need saving from something else. Maybe it's a financial crisis. Maybe it's relational. I don't know. Maybe it's a healing. I just want to say that today could be the day. Call on the name of the Lord and join me right now. Listen, the Bible says to lift holy hands, right? If you need saving from anything today, I don't care what it is. Call on his name. Call on the name of Jesus. And we're going to right now come in agreement. And we're going to pray. Whatever that thing is that you need saving from, an old theater friend of mine, we're imagination people, and he said this, imagine it in the palm of your hands right now. Put it out in front of your hands, and you're going to lift it up to the Lord. Father, I am standing with my brothers and sisters, and we're lifting up our burdens. Father, we thank you that as we call on the name of Jesus, you are able to save, and you will save, because we are your sons and your daughters. We're not slaves and servants merely, Father. We are designed with a purpose. We are designed to be in the family of God. I'm asking right now, Father, for all lifted hands that you would come in this moment, Lord Jesus. I'm asking for there to be a genuine repentance. If anyone needs to get stuff out of the way, I'm just feeling in my spirit that maybe there's somebody that just has something they got to confess before the Lord. And he wants to save you, but he needs you to put that thing down. Put it aside, whatever it is, in Jesus' name. Father, we just cast aside any darkness, anything that the devil has deceived us with in the name of Jesus. We come against it. I'm breaking chains right now in the name of Jesus. Let freedom reign. Father, save your people. Those who need healing this morning, those who need deliverance, those who need a touch from you, Father, encouragement. I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you would speak to them through the living word as they turn to it this week. Father, encourage your people. Surround them with others in this church that are going to lift them up. And we thank you for the salvation that is ours, for the healing that is ours, for the freedom that is ours, for the life eternal, the life overflowing, the goodness of our God. We thank you for it and praise you for it. We love you and give you thanks for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.